The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Donald Brennan is with me. He's Professor of European Politics at Maynooth University. John, it's good to talk to you. Do you find yourself in kind of one or the other of the two main camps, too little too late, or better late than never? Or are you in that third camp that says, who cares what Bono thinks?
I think it is too little too late. It's a very welcome statement in some respects. And as you said, the different members of U2 have divided up their thoughts. Bono's is the most comprehensive, I think. But it's also contingent and qualified in all kinds of ways. And he may not have meant to do it, but he ends up actually describing this conflict as one between two sides. It hasn't been that clear for a very long time, long before the 7th of October, in fact. And I think when you end up doing that, you have to ask questions. It's also about the timing, of course, and we are 20-something plus months into this sustained phase of violence against the Palestinian people. Huge numbers of Israelis, very prominent Israelis, including David Grossman, their most important modern novelist, have come out and called it genocide. So when I look at this statement, I got the sense that you two maybe felt bounced into it because the level of violence has become so extreme. They should have spoken up earlier in the way that a much younger generation of Irish artists have, Fontaine D.C., Seabat, and others. But Christy Moore has spoken out, Mary Coughlin and others, and there's no reason, I think, why they couldn't have done this at a much earlier stage.
Why do you think they haven't? Or do you think an earlier iteration of U2 might have, a younger Bono? I mean, because they, you know, their identity has largely been wrapped up in their willingness to speak out on issues and issues of injustice as they see them. And they were synonymous with kind of campaigns around debt relief and, you know, AIDS and famine and what have you. There's been a sub-Saharan focus is maybe what you might describe most of it as. Do you think they would have spoken out an earlier U2 and they've just become something else?
I'm not sure. I think all of what you've described is to Bono's credit. He just can't be criticized for that kind of activity. But I think we should also keep in mind that U2 has also been a corporate entity almost from the very beginning. In fact, about 20 years ago, Bono gives an interview to the Irish Examiner, and he says very explicitly, this was around the time, by the way, when there was a lot of controversy, when they were moving part of their tax arrangements to Amsterdam. And he came out and he said, U2 is a multinational corporation. Now, I always thought that for them, the American market was absolutely the most important priority because they conquered it in no uncertain terms in the 1980s. And I think they were determined to hang on to that fan base and everything that went with it. And I think they may have been chastened, not just U2, but others, by what happened to Sinead O'Connor. Remember, was it in 1990 when she went on Saturday Night Live, tore up the photograph of the Pope? Her fan base in America collapsed almost overnight. And I think that was instructive for a lot of acts subsequently, so that they became afraid, actually, of speaking out in a way that they might have previously. And it was also the case in the 2000s that Bono was deeply involved, perhaps for the first time in his life, in the game of politics, high politics, and he was trying to convince the George Bush regime to do the right thing in Africa. But you can go back and look at some of the concert footage after the invasion of Iraq in 2003, and he's going around venues in the U.S. and he's saying, I'm offering up a prayer for the troops. These were the very U.S. troops that were terrorizing Iraq and Afghanistan, that were torturing people in Guantanamo Bay and in Abu Ghraib prison. So there's a history here, and I think we should be conscious of it.
And so do you think then it's not overly cynical to suggest that the issues that they've attached themselves to really were the issues, all of them, that they've conveniently been non-controversial? You know, let's ensure that there is not famine in East Africa. Let's ensure that people who have AIDS get the medication they need. Let's offer debt relief to developing countries. I mean, arguably that's maybe the most controversial, but it's most controversial from a kind of a high politics and economics point of view, not from the point of view of the regular Joe and Josephine soap listening.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a fair degree of truth in that. And they're far from the worst offenders here. If you look at the statement, for example, that Madonna put out on Instagram the other day, it was her son's 25th birthday, and she's talking about the children of Gaza in roundabout terms. But even more than you two, she's saying explicitly, she's not pointing fingers, she's not placing blame or taking sides. I mean, that's just outrageous, given the level of mass murder that we're witnessing. We're seeing a Bloody Sunday take place three times a day, every day in Gaza, month after month after month.
I mean, does it matter? Does it actually matter what you two have to say about anything?
It does matter, because we live in a world of hyper-celebrity. I mean, Donald Trump's ascension to the presidency of the United States is the greatest proof of that. I'm convinced that had Taylor Swift intervened really proactively in the U.S. presidential election last year and mobilized her enormous fan base, I mean, she has more popular clout than any artist in the world. It could have been decisive in electing Kamala Harris to the presidency. She didn't do that. She did it in a very sort of timid way and ad hoc way. And in the end, Trump and his brand of celebrity proved victorious. So I think there's a lot of evidence to show that over the last sort of four decades or so, that penetration of politics by the world of celebrity really does matter. And how celebrities use their fame really matters. It's just sad to me that if you're an artist, you're not prepared to put truth at the center of everything that you do.
Is the world a better place for that, for that reality, that what celebrities say matter?
Not necessarily. But it depends, I think, on the celebrity, and it depends on the artist. And I would argue that the artist is far more important here, that people who have built up a body of work over time that commands respect and are themselves people who command respect, that when they speak about something, that they're able to actually summon an audience in the way that an ordinary politician can't and an ordinary commentator can't. But if they have that solid body of work behind them and the kind of authority and legitimacy and credibility that goes with that, I think they really can make a difference.
Well, Evelyn in Cork says, perhaps Bono was worried about compromising US donations to his charities if he spoke out on Gaza before now. And George, also in Cork, but in Skibbereen, people from West Cork will always make sure you know that they're in West Cork. George says, you two were much quicker to go to Sarajevo during that war, almost 2 years of not saying anything about Gaza. George and Evelyn, thank you both very much. John, thank you as well. John O'Brien, Professor of European Politics in Maynooth University.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.